What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Black Expat. My name is Carl, and I'm excited to be rocking with you guys for yet another episode. We have, for her fifth installment on The Black Expat Podcast, Chelsea T. Hall is joining us again.
Hi, y'all.
For her last final day in Taiwan. You've been with us for how many days so far?
In total, 31 days.
Yeah. Oh, 31 days. So before, two things we're going to do in this podcast. We're going to talk about something that, you know, I kind of want to talk about. And then I'm also going to give Chelsea a chance, the opportunity to reflect upon her experience here, give you guys insight on what she's going back to, what she's excited about, and then what she's hoping and looking to do in the future, beyond getting back into her job, beyond coming back in December to Taiwan, beyond going back and getting her nails done again. She don't like them gels out here. But first, I want to kind of get into this. So, and I'm going to catch Chelsea a little bit off guard again. We don't prep for these. I just go right into it.
I just want to say you really committed me for coming out here on the podcast. Now everybody knows. And I got to come back out.
It is recorded. Before I get into my question, this podcast is brought to you by cptravels.com. Go to cptravels.com for all of your travel wants, needs, and desires. And also click the link in the description. We are still fundraising for the Black Haven on the island of Formosa. So Chelsea, what are your professional fears?
Ooh, my professional fears. This is really hard.
She's thinking about it.
I am thinking about it. One, personally, would be not, like, being stagnant. Not feeling like, or not being able to move up in the ranks and be confident in my promotions. That's what I'm, like, that's one of my professional fears. Another professional fear would be Donald Trump being elected again as president.
Oh yeah, that's, I think that's just a everybody.
Another professional fear is not being able to transfer the skills that I've learned with Lauren and Stacy and my incredible colleagues to a different part of politics or even a different industry. I think that is something that makes me really nervous. I shouldn't be nervous about that. I shouldn't be afraid of that, but I am. That these skills won't be like as transferable as I think they are when I am no longer with Stacy and Lauren, if that ever happens, because I love those ladies. But yeah, I think that's one of my professional fears.
Because I think the reason why I bring this question up, because we've had a lot of conversations throughout your time of being here about, you know, about our professions, about our careers, what we want to do, and and our strengths and weaknesses and all that. But I just think in our community in particular, I think a lot of times we talk about what our goals are.
Yeah.
We talk about about what we want to do, what we're doing currently. I think it's really important to discuss, like what are you afraid? What are your fears? Like, what, and how do you process those fears, and how do you turn that into something that's proactive and productive, and something that you can actually, you know, how do you turn a fear professionally into a strength, and then how do you overcome those things or those roadblocks that we kind of set up for ourselves, and having these fears as, you know, as it pertains to being a professional.
There is a specific term, and I'm trying to think of it right now. It is leaving me. But I want to say it's called imposter syndrome. Am I getting that right? I believe I'm getting that right. And I think I struggled with, I think a lot of people of color, professional people of color, struggle with the imposter syndrome. Do you mind looking it up for me? Because I do not want to, I don't want to give the wrong definition. But I think it is feeling like you aren't worthy to be in that space or to have achieved what you have achieved. Like, it's not, you actually didn't have anything to do with it. It kind of happened to you. Do you mind reading the definition? Because I might have gotten that wrong.
Yep.
But
Imposter syndrome is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Mm-hmm. You actually described it perfectly in layman's terms, if you will.
So I definitely struggle with the imposter syndrome. Because I don't want to live in America forever. And so we've talked about this at length. Me wanting to go to another country, another side of the world, and do my same political work. But I am, and I think that is tied to me saying I want to make, I'm afraid that my skills aren't going to be transferable. And I think those just go hand in hand. Like, what if I get out there and it's like, you're actually not the bad bitch you thought you were. You actually kind of suck. You haven't really accomplished much. And you don't really know what you're talking about. And I'm definitely afraid of that. So that is definitely a professional fear of mine. And I have gone through these past 5 years that I've been an adult, a working adult. And I don't think I've given myself credit enough for putting myself in the right space, having the right timing, working as hard as I did, being as curious as I was, taking advantage of the opportunities that were given to me when no one else really saw them, and making something out of them. And so I do need to start crediting myself a little bit more, but that is something that we all need to explore and need to tackle, this imposter syndrome as Black people who are professionals.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Because one of the things that I know we also talked about, you asked a really good question the other day. But before I get into that question, sorry, I have a lot of things I kind of want to touch on. So I know you kind of mentioned like you didn't really want to stay in America for a long, like you don't want to live in America for that much longer. Like you want to try something that's different outside of the country. So like, yes. where does that motivation come from? And like, what does that look like? And like, how have your fears kind of been holding you back from doing just, you know, doing exactly what you said you just wanted to do, which is, you know, having a different experience outside of the US of A?
I've always wanted to do that. I've always, been that sibling that was like, nah, I ain't going to be here. I'm leaving. I want my nieces and my nephews to be able to come visit me in a different country. I want to be that auntie that flies in with her new boyfriend for the holidays, gives a whole bunch of gifts, and then flies out. And then next holiday, she got a new fine-ass boyfriend. Like, I'm trying to be that aunt with no kids. But for me, what it looks like, and the reason why I want to do that is because I think wherever you are in your part of the world, we kind of get stuck in what our traditions are, what our norms are. And there's just a big world out there that we all need to explore. And what might be the norm in America, where people just straight up don't love Black women, that might be completely different in another country that I haven't experienced yet. And I'm just sitting here in America thinking that no one loves us, when actually that is not true. And you know what I mean? You get what I mean?
Yeah, Kenya, they love it. Was Black people posters everywhere. Again, it's Africa, I know, yeah, but man. Like what? you felt the love off the airplane. I'm sorry.
But I'm very, I am the type of person that needs to do something new, learn something new, and feel like I'm growing in something different. Or I feel like I'm dying almost. And going to a different country, obviously I'm going to have to learn more than likely a new language, new customs, new norms. Hopefully I'm very passionate and very interested in learning more about climate change and environmental justice. And so taking that interest and expanding that into like another country where I'm still in the political realm, but I'm doing something completely different that I care about, that, you know, politics ain't gonna matter if there ain't no fucking humans on the earth, because we all dead. And the earth is dying. So I'm really, really passionate about that. But also, what I'm doing this year in thinking about that more is, well, how can I set myself up or ask for what I want in this current job to feel like I can be confident in working in climate change or whatever might be the case, let's say in New Zealand or in Germany, where I feel like I have that, all of the skills I need to really get the job I want, get the pay that I deserve, and live comfortably, because I am a little bougie, live comfortably, in another space. So that's what I've been mulling over the time that I've been out here, is what I want out of this next year, this next 2 years, with being under, you know, the wings of Lauren and the incomparable Stacey Abrams. Like, what do I really want to take out of this experience this year as we're launching Fear Fight?
And one thing that I kind of want to, just for the listening audience, I know I talked about this before in previous podcasts, some of the things Chelsea touched on, is one of the things that I attribute, like, you know, we always talk about, you know, the baby boomers, so our parents, and how they view us in, like, this context of millennials.
Yeah.
And I think, and I always want to put it in, I'll try to put it in perspective for myself, is like, okay, when my parents were growing up, and even my grandparents, it's like they had to, there wasn't as much access to information and knowledge as there is now.
Yeah.
And the knowledge and information they were getting was very, very filtered. So what you saw in the newspapers was filtered. What you saw on TV, there weren't that many channels, the news was filtered. So you really could only care about what you knew about. And in most cases, it was only particular things that the government, whoever was controlling that source, wanted you to know about. And that's what you focused your energy on. Whereas with the technology age that we're currently living in and growing up in and thriving in, we have access to so much information. And if you have a foundation of education and of understanding and ability to understand everything that's going on, when you get into these jobs, these desk jobs, or like even an amazing job that you have, they're still like, okay, this was great, but like, I know now, because I've had this job, mm-hmm. and I have this education, I have this experience, and I'm just open-minded enough to understand what's going on, there's so much more that I want to see and so much more that I want to do.
Yes.
And I always want to remind my audiences, it's like, hey, it's okay to not be satisfied with what you're doing, but want to do more than what you're currently doing. Like, that's okay. I think sometimes I hear either older generation or just people around me like, oh, you're doing too much, mm-hmm. or you're asking for too much, or why can't you just be happy with what you have? You have an amazing job with an amazing salary. Why would you want to change that? And I think for us, like, oh, you know what? You're right. I am comfortable, but it's also okay to want more than to be more than comfortable.
Yeah. We only get one life. Yeah. Like, I'm about to live this shit. I'm going to try and do all of the things that I want to do. Like, there's no better time than now to try that and to push yourself. And so, yeah, I have a really comfortable, amazing space that I'm in right now. But hell yeah, I want more. And when I told my bosses that, they were like, we understand, we're fully on board, and I'm happy that you said that. So, like, they get it. You just have to speak up, and you have to do it.
And I think it's also important, like, that you surround yourself or you make it a point to be around people that are going to understand. Because, again, a lot of people just don't. They don't understand. It doesn't really resonate with them. Like, I've had these conversations before. And me, I had to check my privilege again at the door. It's like, all right, Carl, you've lived abroad for 10 years. So, of course, when you talk to your friend who's been working at TFA or at the same job for a decade, nearly doing in the same space at the same office with the same group of people, just moving up the ladder. Of course, like, it's a different perspective, and that's something that makes her happy. She feels comfortable on that.
Good.
But then we have those conversations, like, all these feelings and emotions that come out, and that comes out in, like, in therapeutic sessions or just friendship conversations. Like, well, the core of that is, you've been doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You've wanted this growth that you thought would come from your company, and you didn't find it in that. Yes, the money was great, so that only really calms you down and makes you feel happy for a moment or for moments. But then it's like, all right, at the end of the day, when you go home and you lay your head on your pillow, what you're thinking about is, I feel unfulfilled. A lot of times, people I've been talking to, like, professionals way more successful than I am, that's what they're at their core. That's what their core, what they're really saying is that, we're not being challenged. We're not doing everything we think we can do because we've done so much already for this company.
Yeah.
And we don't have as much control over the direction that things go as we think we do.
Yeah.
That, man, I feel unfulfilled. What should I do? And they think it's, oh, you need to go see a therapist. You need to go out more. You need to date more. And sometimes it's just do something different career-wise, because I think, as we've kind of touched on, your career takes up so much time in your life.
Oh my God.
It really, like, when my you really God. Think about it, yeah. If you spend, even if you're, no matter what your job is, if you're spending 8 hours a day somewhere, yep. That's a third of your day. That's 5 out of 7 days of your week. That's more than a third of you. That's a big part of your life. Like 40 hours a week is a lot of hours.
That's a lot of hours.
And then you have to sleep. You should be sleeping for 6 to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And you really only have 8 hours to yourself. Then you have to eat. You have to be on the phone. You have to go to the bathroom, take a shower, walk your dog. And then you really only have 2.5 hours to yourself a day. And then during that time, you're watching TV. So, I mean, like, if you really break it down, where you spend your time work-wise matters, and it should be doing something that you're really passionate about. And I'm not saying just jump into that right away, because there is a process. I understand that the world we live in.
Yes.
There's a process to that. However, you should be working toward doing what you really, really want to do, and there's nothing wrong with communicating that to your superiors, to your friends, and to your family, and also to yourself.
And so, and I also believe that we have to take the initiative, and small steps are fine. I don't know that much about climate change the way that I feel like I should. So, you know what, Chelsea? Maybe you need to join Sierra Club. Maybe you need to start joining more organizations and getting more involved in your community and exposing yourself to different things, picking up new hobbies, just trying new shit that can satiate what you're feeling in that moment, and you having this, like, need to grow. So when I get back to America, I'm absolutely doing that, because I think it's necessary. You don't really know what you want to do until you actually try it and put your big toe in the water and see what it's about. And so even those little steps of joining an organization or picking up a new hobby to kind of fill that void and expand upon, like, what it is you actually want to do, I think it's very helpful and necessary.
And one of the things I initially thought I was using as a recruitment tool, again, I guess I matured in what I was doing as working in management and directing out here in Taiwan, yeah. was when I would interview people, specifically from my alma mater, DePaul. So I would go to DePaul and I would say, all right, and I was thinking from a recruiter perspective initially. I was like, well, when I interview them, I want to ask as many questions about what they're interested in and what they want to do. And if they qualify to come out here and teach in Taiwan, which most people do if you're just open-minded and can read a book.
Yeah.
Then I'll focus more on putting them in situations where they can utilize their skills that they have that they really want to sharpen. For example, if you studied science and stuff in DePaul, mm-hmm. I would create a science program for my teachers here. And once they got here, after I train them, I'll put them in a position where they would lead something that they were really passionate about. Or, all right, I'm interested in learning about this. I have no idea what it is, but I'm interested in learning about it, and I want to see how my skills can correlate. And that was with Patrick. Like, he's not the best actor. He's not good at singing, but he's in the drama class because he brings a different aspect in. Like, he's really good with design. He's really good with stages and presence and understanding that. So it was, all right, he had an interest in it, didn't know what he could do in it, but I put him in it, and when he learned what he could do as a part of being that. So I think that's one of the things, and this goes back to your point of communicating with your people you work with your superiors, people who just work on the team with you, what you want to do. Yeah. And then, you know, they should, if you have a good boss, there's a lot of us, it's hard to find that. Yeah. Then they'll put you in those positions or put opportunities in front of you to be able to work toward your end goal. But if you never communicate that, if you're not open with that, again, with yourself, with people around you, like, even your friends can put you into something or onto something that you just don't know about.
Absolutely.
But if you never talk about these things or don't discuss these things, you spend more time gossiping and sliding in DMs and, you know, getting down to business, then, you know, you'll miss out on these opportunities. Because that's something I really, as I matured through it, first I'm like, oh, this is a recruitment tool. But then I realized this is meaningful work. Like, this is me giving someone an opportunity to do something they're really passionate about in a different setting and learn from in a different place. It translates when they go back to America, they take those skills and those experiences back to a job that they really, really want to have for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So I didn't focus a lot more on that. And I tried to do that a lot more as a manager and not just as a manager. That's when I feel like I became a leader, when I understood that was important for the person themselves, as well as for the institution I'm working for and working with. But that's why I really like leading. I like being a manager because I like creating those opportunities for people and seeing how it affects them once they leave.
Another really important thing that I am just now, not just now learning, but realizing that I need to utilize more, is networking out, not necessarily networking up. We have all amassed incredible friends and an incredible, like, group of people that we've surrounded ourselves with. I think it is really important that we start talking to our peers, like you just mentioned, about the things we want and the things we're interested in, because we have no idea who's in their networking pool that they can connect us to. We're always focused on the top, the big shiny thing. Like, I need to meet I don't know. I need to meet Oprah and be friends with Oprah so that I can get where I need to go. When maybe you need to be cool with, you know, someone in your peer group that is a direct friend of yours, and you have no idea how that person might be connected to this behemoth of a corporation that Oprah Winfrey has created. So I do think it's really important that we start sharing our dreams, our needs with our friends and people just in our circle, because that is a networking opportunity. And they're going to fight for you harder than that big shiny thing that you're looking at the top to be connected with, because they know you and they're going to vouch for you. So something that I've learned since being out here is that I need to start networking out instead of up more, because I have some dope ass friends. I'm sitting next to Carl right now, so obviously.
Man, Ava too. Ava's our daughter.
Ava be knowing.
She chilling. I think that's a great point, because it's like one of the things when we're talking about environment, I was like, oh, if you ever thought about, you know, going to New Zealand, because I've been there, we have friends there.
Exactly.
She was like, oh, I know that shit. I'm like, yeah. And then working holidays. I podcast about, I think it's in the Australia podcast, about taking a working holiday. Like if you're in America before the age of 30, you can take one full year and live and work in Australia and make a living beyond above a living wage, have your own apartment, live in a different country with a job. It may not be the most luxurious job, but you're in a different place. You're meeting new people. You're doing different things mm-hmm. for a full year. And if you want to do it for a second, you can renew it for a second year. If you want to end up becoming a resident, do it for 5 years and earn residency there. I mean, There's so many opportunities we just don't know about because, again, stay in America. Let's stay here. Make America great again. All that stuff.
Ugh.
There's so much more outside of America that you can also experience. I'm not saying everybody pack up and leave. I'm just saying,
well,
try different things. Get out there. Explore. See what's really out there for you to do. And stop creating I always call them invisible barriers for yourself. Like none of it. Well, that's the wrong way. That's how I'm going to say it. They're invisible barriers. Like, oh, well, I have to do this before I do this. Or I can't do this because of this. I can't do that. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I want to have all the information before I go. There's never going to be a right time, right place, right moment to do anything. And sometimes the world will just push you into it.
Yeah.
And to avoid the world push you into it, and you have to kind of figure yourself out, voluntarily push yourself into it. That way your mind is ready to dive into it. Your mind is ready to absorb and handle anything that comes your way. Take control of your situation and don't be afraid to do something you've never done before.
Absolutely.
The biggest thing I did was hop on the plane 10 years ago with limited information about Taiwan and coming here to work. I had no information, barely spoke the language, no friends, only black person, no Patrick. It was just me for a full year.
That's crazy.
And it was life-changing for me. And it changed a lot of people's lives, I feel like, as a result too, thankfully. But I mean, you know, it's been an amazing experience.
And you're never too old to do that.
Never too old.
I was thinking, I was like, man, I should have did that when I was in my early 20s. That's when you were supposed to do it. Shit.
It really don't, man. Like, if you don't have kids, I mean, if you have a significant other, you can also pack up and go with them. Definitely don't let that be a deterrent.
Because again,
if your boo really down with you, they gonna support you doing what you want to do. And they may even find you out there and go with you.
Heller. Like that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, my boyfriend and girlfriend don't want to support me. Well, dang shit.
They not.
Sorry, that was real direct. So one thing. Sorry, I had to take a sip of this this wine. It's orange juice.
Yeah.
It's the morning time here, y'all. So one of the things I kind of wanted to share with Chelsea is like about her fears, but my fears. I had to write it down because I'll be forgetting stuff when I'll be asking all these questions. I don't remember what I wanted to say. So one of the hardest lessons I think I had to learn as being a part of being out here was that all the people, because of my job being a director and manager at 22, and my initiative to get people from Nepal to come and work out here in Taiwan.
Yeah.
And, you know, want to get more people of color after that. You know, I told you the levels of it. First people from Nepal to come, then people of color, and then entrepreneurship is what I've gravitated into. But what I did for like 5 years is I wanted to get as many people out here as I could. And I invested a lot into them, like that, make sure they had things that they really cared about they were doing out here. Vouching for them, make sure they were comfortable. I did a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was that moment, and you guys can hear it through, if you go back to the previous podcast, where I needed something, where I was the one that needed from the people that I thought that I had given so much to, and I always helped and I always supported everything that they were doing. And they literally, none of them except one, were there for me. Now, one person you guys can probably guess was Patrick. None of them were there for me professionally. Like, at work, no one vouched for me. No one asked the question of, oh, you guys are doing this and that and the third to Carl. That's unfair. Or how can we support Carl? Carl, what do you need? None of them. They were all completely silent. All of them. And one of the hard, I think that was one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn. One of the things my dad always told me, it kind of goes back to, he said, you expect, you are who you are. And that's fine. You are a caring person. You really care about other people. You want to see other people do better. But if you have that, put that same expectation up upon everyone else that you interact with, you will consistently be disappointed, be let down, and have this emotion that you feel. Because one time I was cutting the grass and I had done some stuff for my sister, and she just like treated me like it didn't even matter to her. And I was so hurt. And that's the time he put me, he was like, son, sit down. I know you're crying. You're all emotional. I love my sisters. Y'all, I was crying. I don't care. Because I was mad. I was like, man, I did all this and you don't even care. And that's when he told me that lesson. And I think it made, again, it applies to a lot of aspects of my life, but the experience I had in Taiwan with my previous job, the way that I left it, because, you know, I went back to, you know, to become stronger as a leader, to get more leadership experience, only to come back to the same school. I left without pay. They held my seat only, but I was still working from America for the job for free. Long story short, so I came back and it was like, oh, some salaries, we can't have you come back, whatever, whatever, whatever. And it was because of someone else wanted, I put someone else in charge and she wanted more money. And they were like, oh, Carl, that's not the deal you signed up for. But I'm like, I already talked to her and about this, but she wanted more money. And because she wanted more money, they said, oh, we can't honor your contract because now you're breaking your contract. I'm like, I didn't do anything. She wanted more money. She deserves more money. Give it to her. If not, didn't tell her. No, how does that affect me? And she literally went to that meeting and didn't say anything in my support. And no one in the whole school did.
Wow.
Yet I'd done so much to build up the program, to build up her career, stop them from firing her on several occasions and the current manager on several occasions, even though they wanted to. But anyway, not getting into that. But essentially, that's one of the hardest lessons I learned. That was a lesson that I had to learn, an experience I had to have. And I relate that back to what my dad said. So at the time, of course, I was emotional about it. But then I look at everything as, you know, maybe it's something, it happened for a reason. Now I have to move forward. How can I make this work? And it did lead to some amazing things and to some bad things as well. One of the things I took away from that was, I am who I am because I choose to be that way. Mm-hmm. And what someone else does or how they treat me or what happens is not going to change the way that I go about doing things. I could have very easily let that experience change me into a person who doesn't care about people anymore, who doesn't want to work for anybody else, who doesn't care about providing people other opportunities. I could have easily let that do that. I'm like, man, F everybody else, is only about Carl. See how y'all do me. Nobody care. But again, having that experience, being mature enough to say, you know what? Damn, that sucks. How am I gonna make this better? How am I gonna move forward? What can I do now? What is my current situation? What do I want to do? It actually gave me, it put me in a space where I could really think about what I wanted to do and what I really needed and how I wanted to move forward in doing things. And that to me is important. Because one of my fears was at the time, and it kind of still is now, was my fear of not making it, whatever making it looks like for me. Because I've invested so much time in building up that program, and in a blink of an eye, it was gone. But at that time, in my opinion, I had made it in that field, like in teaching. But now I guess my fear is like not making it, all right? I've invested so much in CP Travels, so much in this podcast, so much in this experience in Taiwan and advertising, trying to get people to come out here. What if 5 years down the line, I'm still where I am today? Mm-hmm. And I think that's my professional fear. I was like, all right, is all this being done for a reason? Is all of it being done for naught? How do I stay motivated? Am I really going anywhere? And the thing is, people look at it like, oh, your podcast, I have maybe 2,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. To me, that's huge.
Yeah.
Other people that they're like, oh, that's not that much. I'm like, oh, whatever. But when I get 2 new listeners, I'm excited. I'm like, yeah, man, thank you. When someone shares it, when I get feedback on Instagram, like a nice young woman actually emailed about wanting to come and work out here in Taiwan based on what she heard in the podcast. Wow. Person I've never met. And it's only been 1 or 2 people, well, 1 to 5 people so far, and I've been podcasting for 2 years. But to me, that means so much. So with that fear, I have to, again, conceptualize and say, all right, I'm not podcasting every day. I'm not putting thousands of dollars into my podcast yet. Mm-hmm. I am starting off slow. And then hopefully the more shares I get, the more all that, then it'll slowly build up. But I have to keep doing meaningful work that's meaningful to me. And then everything else will kind of fall into place, similar to what I did at TomCon. Well, in my previous school. I worked there for 7 years, but I built something that lasted. But I was building for someone else's dream. And now what I want to do is build from what I want to do and have ownership of that based on my experiences that I had.
You are just and preaching to the choir right now.
Say all that. Like, all that was kind of connected. Like, to talk about your fears, to process them, talk them out. Be level-headed when you're discussing it. Talk to different people about it. Get their input. But don't take what they say and say, you know what? Yeah, I should do that. Just listen. Digest it. Take it in. write it down. Write down everything you've heard and then make a map for yourself. And that's how you can arrive at, all right, this is what I want to do based on what I've done, what I experienced, what I've heard, and all the feedback that I've gotten.
That is exactly why I came out here. You and Patrick, like I said before in the first podcast, I really wanted to utilize you two as my sounding board to figure out what my next steps are, because you guys are you guys are really removed from the things that I do. And so hearing what you both had to say was really valuable and important to me. So, yes, absolutely.
So if you guys have any professional fears, kick them doors down.
That's right.
Doors down. So that was a great 30-minute segment. We have so much more we could touch on, but you know, Chess is coming back, so we have plenty of time to catch up. And when we're in America, she's going to make it a point to visit us this summer. And we're also going to podcast from Jamaica, man, in July.
I can't wait.
I'm really excited about that, too. Shout out to Patrick.
Shout out to Kareem, getting married. Oh, my gosh.
Recap of your time in Taiwan. It's your last day. What emotions are you feeling? How are you feeling? We're going to have hot pot pretty soon. How are you feeling? Run it down for the peeps.
I'm trying not to cry. I'm definitely going to cry later. Like several thug tears will be shed. It has been relaxing. It has been exciting. It has been emotional in terms of how reflective I've been, to the point where I felt like I was going crazy actually last week, because I was like, this is just too many emotions. I'm thinking about this shit way too much. But it felt so good to only have to think about what I was feeling and what I needed. And I feel so loved right now. Like, just truly loved on. I know I needed love from friends, but just to keep it 100, like, I needed love from two incredible Black men. That's what I needed really, really bad. And I did not know that. I'm anxious. I'm ready to like get back to work after not doing anything for a really long time. Literally not doing anything. I'm on season 3 of Grace and Frankie, just started that hoe this week. Like, literally not doing anything for as long as I have. I have so much energy. And I'm ready to go back and kick down some fucking doors and, you know, take it to the man and ruin Brian Kim's life. I feel like ready. I feel rejuvenated and that I'm going to just kill this year. I really, really needed this space. I needed this time to be with y'all. I think it was just so important that I was with y'all. And I got, like, just so much. You guys just poured into me, and I poured into you. And you guys never complained about all of the shit that I wanted to talk about all of the time. And it went from relationships to career to the female body. It was, like, family, kids, finances. We talked about everything this month, and I'm just so incredibly grateful that I got to add another layer, maybe even 3 more layers to our friendship. And so I feel good. I feel healthy too. I look good. Hey.
You look great.
Thank you. Amazing. So yeah, I feel really good. But I do think it is time for me to go home. I do think it is time.
Yeah, I think, again, and I know I can't really speak for Patrick, but I know for me especially, again, it's been very, I think it's one of the things that I've always missed as an expat is, I'm also coming from the school that we came from, DePaul, which has encouraged conversation and, you know, yes, day of dialogue and all that, is having those conversations. I think as, especially most of the Black expats we meet up with out here, we do get together, not most, some of them, we do have conversations like these, but it's just so different in so many different ways because, you know, that level of familiarity isn't there.
Yeah.
And also, it's harder to be open and honest in some ways with people that you don't know very well because you don't know how they're going to take in the second and third. But I know just having you in the house, like we all said, we love Black women, but having a Black woman in the house has been everything for us. Like, I mean, man, we clean up way more often than we used to. the music that you play would just be like, would uplift our spirits. And again, generally we just wake up. I've woken up every day like happy, because it's hard. Again, it's the end of the semester for us is the hardest and suckiest time for us. Well, I know every day I think the three of us have been smiling every single day, never been complaining, never felt down or sad. We lift each other up, you know, and I think that's really, really important. I think it's been a great dynamic and a great feeling to have in the house. Ava loves you. She be busting in the room, opening doors, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's been an amazing time. And these conversations, I think, have been great just for all of us. And I think, like you said, about us sharing so much, we've all just become energized by the energy you've brought to the house. And we hope that we've left you with energy to take back and, you know, to do everything that you're looking to get into. And know that you'll also have that support from us moving forward, obviously, and beyond. And whatever that you choose or that you want to do in any way that we can support you, you know we're going to be there.
I know. So, I mean, I'm going to be there for y'all. It was so much fun learning more about you, like, both of you guys' dreams. Mm-hmm. And it just oozes out of you. We were talking about this yesterday when we went up to Taipei. Me and Carl got to spend a lot of time with each other this week, which is like one of my favorite parts of the trip. You know what you want to do, and everyone else around you knows it, because it is going to come up in every single conversation. And I fucking love that. I love knowing like what Patrick is passionate about, or just the random shit he says, like, yeah, let's buy a boat and sail around the world. Nigga, do you know how to sail?
He be dead serious, not for real.
Dead serious.
He don't smile at nothing. That's my best friend being serious.
And so it was a part of my list, because I am a list and bullets person, to be in somewhat, live in someone else's space without having to, you know, convince them to do something, or, you know what I mean? Like, have that interaction where it needs to be transactional. It was just, I really just wanted to be in someone else's space, period. And you guys opened up to me. You guys allowed me to be all up in your home and have hair everywhere. It definitely clogged the sink with all my hair and broke shit. But it's fine.
It's cool. You know, you take care of it. Patrick's a handyman.
So I just really enjoyed that. I really, really did. I love you guys so much. So much.
And I can speak for Patrick. We're really excited about what the three of us do, you know, in the future moving forward. And like, y'all thought I was joking when I said we should take this podcast on the road.
I'm with it.
We totally should. If you guys haven't heard the previous four podcasts, they were hilarious. Okay. The politics as usual, me and Chelsea hashing out. It was real great. Chelsea, that'd be great. You should actually go back and listen to the very first podcast when you first got here.
Yeah.
And then now, and like tell your friends to listen to it too.
Yeah.
Then now, and kind of like see that, the difference, like what you talked about with, you know, I think that'd be amazing. Because in the second, what was the second one?
I think that was our mental health one. Right?
Our mental health one. That was key. Powerful. And then we had a hilarious one. It was levels to it. It's Chelsea, first get here, let's dissect and break stuff down. Second, man, mental health. Let's get into this.
It was so necessary too.
And we all need, the thing is like I feel like we all needed each other at the same time.
Yeah.
And it really comes out through the podcast. Like, all right, get here, process. All right, now what are we all going through? What's like, what should we be talking about? Man, we all have mental health things that we just haven't talked about. Let's talk about each other. Let's share it with the audience.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, could we process that? Just cry these tears out. Man, Soulja Boy, tell them. You got into the Soulja Boy stuff about black entrepreneurship, how we support one another, how we could continue to do that. And then it's like, all right, everything's coming back full circle. Like, what were our fears? But then like taking those fears and fighting through them and making them into positives and doing amazing things. And what do you do next? Next steps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, man, these five podcasts have been levels to it. Yeah, I didn't do this on purpose, y'all. I don't write it down. I'm like Jay-Z and Lil Wayne.
Oh, God.
And Michael Jackson. No, I think Michael Jackson wrote a song. But you know what I'm talking about.
I think he recorded everything that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every single thing.
What a genius. Also, I love Taiwan.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Yeah.
The people here are so nice. No one says excuse me, though. when you are walking, they will just cut in front of you. They'll stop in the middle of the street, and you're just like, so you just not gonna move though? Mm-mm. Nope. So you can't really walk and be on your phone out here. So many people, but they are incredibly kind. It's a kindness that I am not accustomed to back home, where, you know, if I need help with something, usually people are looking at me like, why you don't fucking notice? Like, why are you asking me? I got somewhere I need to be. No, when I needed help finding something, there was like three men that came out and just were walking with me. It's like they just stopped what they were doing and helped me figure this thing out. And it was just, everyone stares at you, obviously, because you do not look like them, which is weird, but also I kind of like it because I'm bad. but everyone is just so kind. The food is seasoned. Lord, the food is seasoned. It is so good. It is so good. They do fried chicken justice out here. And it's beautiful. You're on an island. Yesterday or 2 days ago, we went to Galmay Wetlands.
Another wetlands, yeah.
And it took, what, 25 minutes to get over there? And it was just breathtaking. And we went up to Taipei and all of these beautiful mountains. And it's just, it's incredibly picturesque. And I just enjoyed every single moment of the perfect weather. It's always like in the 70s.
Yeah, it's been pretty good weather.
It is perfect weather down here. And yeah, I mean, I didn't really watch TV because I can't speak Chinese or Taiwanese, but but I watch a lot of Netflix.
Right, Netflix,
and they have a great selection out here.
They do. It's very different than the U.S. So I mean, it's good because I can just download my U.S. TV shows and I can just watch what I can't watch in America and Netflix.
And everything is cheap. Like I hardly spent anything, and it was incredible. Just like I loved it.
Come to Taiwan, y'all. If y'all tired of y'all man just being all up in your videos.
Here you go.
Tired of the cold? You tired of preparing for 8 inches of snow? You tired of eating at Walmart and Kroger? Ooh. Come on out to Taiwan and get this fresh food straight from the ocean.
There's a 7-Eleven at every corner. It you don't is. Have to worry about it. You don't need a car. They have great public transportation out here.
Yeah.
It is, even though you hate it. It is fantastic. It is fantastic. And it's clean out here, too.
Everybody recycle.
Yes.
Everything recycle. You know, saving. Y'all care about the environment. Come on out here. Or just recycle in America. Y'all should do it anyway.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Everyone needs to follow suit of what San Francisco is doing.
So, what I traditionally like to do is when people, on a series like this, you're the first podcast series, five set series I've done on the Black Expat Podcast.
Y'all so love me.
You can end the podcast with your final words. I will leave you guys with mine, which is, as always, I share these podcasts with a bunch of high schools all around the Chicagoland area because I'm, again, trying to inspire the youth and share information to young people about the options they have abroad. So again, if you want to click the link in the description about the mission and donate, all those proceeds go toward that mission and also the haven on the island of Taichung and allowing me to travel around a little bit more and interview with more Black expats, get an environment that's comfortable for them to share their stories and get feedback and provide more connections for our people throughout not just Chicago, not just Illinois, not just DePaul, but the United States of America. Thank you to all the listeners who've been a part of this journey so far, and I'm really excited for what I'm able to do moving forward, speaking with more powerful Black women like Chelsea, more powerful Black people like Patrick, and more powerful people of color like all of us in the world. So, with that being said, Chelsea.
You're such a weird ass. my final words are... Yesterday when we were in Taipei, I had asked Carl, what's one thing that you like about yourself? And it was kind of hard for him to answer initially. He started off with things that he knew he wasn't good at or that he didn't like. And I was like, no, don't lead with a negative. Like, tell me what you like about yourself. And I really want everyone who's listening to stop for a minute and just ask yourself or tell yourself out loud what you really like about yourself. My answer was, I like that I do what I say I'm gonna do. Whether I know that I just instinctively keep myself on the path to fulfill what I said I wanna do. What Carl said he loved about himself was he's very decisive. I am not decisive at all. I'm very indecisive. But being out here allowed me to stop and appreciate myself a little bit more. It allowed me to take a breath to just relax. And I really want you all to just stop for a moment and appreciate yourselves and love on yourselves. No one's going to love you like you love you or your mama love you. true. Mm-hmm. And I need everyone to realize that, you know, with all of the social media, everything that we're just constantly inundated with, we need to start taking a little bit more time to just pour back into ourselves. Because if you are empty, you can't pour into another person. And so my final words are, love yourself. Tell yourself what you like about yourself for this moment after you're done listening to this podcast, and really take some time for yourself. It's so important. I had so much fun, Carl. I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so very much for joining me and being an amazing speaker in person on the podcast.
That makes sense.
You've touched many lives.
Oh my gosh.
It did.
Whatever.
In the words of Justin Bieber.
Uh-oh.
You should go and love yourself.
Amen.
I'm Carl.
I'm Chelsea.
The Black Expats. We out, Chip.